So Europe's got a plan to get its finances in order, but what about economic growth?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. French President Nicolas Sarkozy said this morning that the legal details of Friday's Euro summit deal will be coming in the next 2 weeks. The deal aims to keep the euro together by allowing a central authority to enforce budget rules for individual countries. Tim Loenig is chief economist with the London think tank Center Forum, and he joins us now to discuss. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, are economists like you waking up across Europe this morning thinking the leaders of Europe are getting this euro crisis under control?
Well, we're seeing that they're doing their best, but I think it's far too early to say that they've got it under control.
Now, this treaty that was sort of figured out on Friday and last week was about austerity. It's about cutting budgets, making sure that individual European countries keep their finances in order. But I wonder what it means for growth in the future. If these governments around Europe are going to have to stick to these limits, will they be able to grow their economies?
Well, exactly. It's really not clear to me that you want to be Greece, Italy, Spain, or even France today, because your countries have signed up to austerity as far as we can see into the future. That's not a really very good prospect.
Well, what do they do about that?
Well, I wouldn't have signed had I been them, and I'm not sure this deal will actually stick. It might stick for a few months because people know there's a crisis, but I doubt it's going to stick for a few years.
But could they have gotten past the immediate crisis without signing something like this?
Well, you can only have a single currency if the countries that do best agree to behave reasonably. Britain behaved reasonably in the gold standard in the 19th century, but Germany is not behaving reasonably now. Germany needs to refloat its economy, get money out there, which will float not only its own economy, but the rest of Europe. If it doesn't do that, the euro is doomed sooner or later.
Tim Loenig, chief economist at the London think tank Center Forum, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, one country that is not signing on to the deal is the United Kingdom, and today Prime Minister David Cameron will tell lawmakers why. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
As far as his European partners are concerned, Prime Minister Cameron is in the doghouse. But the UK's tabloid newspapers have hailed his action at the summit as a sign of Britain's bulldog spirit. They say he's standing up to his European partners and defending the UK's financial centre from further European interference. But others accuse bulldog Cameron of biting the hand that feeds. The EU accounts for half of all British exports. Ed Miliband is leader of the opposition Labour Party, and he says Cameron has left Britain isolated.
We're now going to have 26 countries going ahead without us in the room, us excluded from key economic decisions. And frankly, David Cameron has mishandled these negotiations very badly.
Cameron's move seems popular with the British public. An opinion poll today showed almost two-thirds of the people supported Cameron, saying that for Britain to get closer to its European partners now would definitely be barking up the wrong tree. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stock traders aren't exactly a bunch of happy puppies this morning. The London stock index down 0.33%, and we're also lower across Europe this morning. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow added 186 points to close at 12,184.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Constant Contact, offering email marketing tools and resources to help market small businesses during the holiday season. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
If you look at the latest data from the Labor Department, you'll find a couple of things. Not enough jobs are being created, especially for young people, and productivity is going up, which means we're all working harder and getting a little more stressed out. Those two things may explain why more college grads are choosing careers in yoga. Sarah Gross reports.
Inhale deeply and fill your lungs with air.
This class in New York City may seem like a typical yoga session.
Exhale all of the breath out.
Except that what you hear is the sound of student debt being worked off. Maya McGuinness is teaching the class. She's 26 and found herself in the thick of the economic meltdown after graduating from Duke University in 2007. She had wanted to pursue a career in finance, but after months without work, she enrolled in a yoga teacher certification class.
At that point, I don't think it was really my intention to become a full-time yoga teacher, but during that training, the seed was planted.
As many as 30 million people in the U.S. practice yoga, and there are some 70,000 teachers. The Bureau of Labor Statistics predicts that number will jump 30% within the decade.
We've seen a huge increase in the number of younger students applying to our teacher trainings.
Andrew Tanner heads the teaching program at Kripalu Yoga Center in Weston, Massachusetts.
From 2008 to 2011, there's been more than a 70% increase in the number of 18 to 25-year-olds.
Teaching yoga can be fairly lucrative. Instructors can get between $25 and $100 an hour for group classes, considerably more for private lessons. But for McGinnis, at least, it's not just about the money.
It's both financially sustainable and also sustainable for your soul. I think there are many other careers out there that sort of eat away at people, and you can see it in their face.
And although yogis have traditionally been older, capable of teaching life lessons along with poses, McGinnis believes that her youth affords her some advantages.
Especially given that I am a newer teacher, you get people that say, oh, you might not have enough life experience. But then once they've taken my class, I think that I provide a very fresh perspective.
With more people McGinnis's age teaching yoga, it's a perspective that could be coming to a yoga studio near you. I'm Sarah Gross for Marketplace.
And finally, to a woman outside Chicago who recently decided to get her son Daniel a savings account at the bank to teach him fiscal responsibility. But according to the Chicago Tribune, he let the account balance drop down to about $5, so he was hit with a fee for not having enough money in the account, and then another fee for every day the account was overdrawn. Long story short, he racked up $229 in fees and says his lesson from the experience is, don't trust banks. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Not so long ago, Egypt was all about government by nepotism.
They've been capitalizing on connections that the average farmer cannot have in terms of marketing, economy of scale, access to water.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Post-revolution Egyptians turn their attention to feeding themselves. Our series, Food for 9 Billion, resumes next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.